We're going to look again at the words of the inauguration of the Lord's Supper. So turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Looking at verse 28. It says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I think this is the only one of the three gospels that speaks specifically. They all speak of the blood. They speak of a covenant. But this one specifically of the forgiveness of sins. And that is where we all find ourselves, so to speak. So it's useful for us to recount that. What are we doing here? What was the Lord Jesus doing, knowing that he was going to the cross? And what are we recounting? The first things that we notice coming into this spot is that our sins render us both polluted and enslaved. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So there is a prison house of sin. It's not just that sin pollutes us, it certainly does, separates us from God, but it puts us in prison. And it is the case that Christ's death is freeing. It's a ransom, it's a redemption. The Lord Jesus characterizes it that way in Matthew chapter 20. He says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So there is that prison house of sin that, you know, the unbeliever thinks that he is free in his sin. He thinks that sin is freeing. In fact, it is not. It is the opposite of freeing. The Apostle Paul also alludes to that in Romans chapter 6. He says, "So when you were slaves of sin," he says, essentially you were free with regards righteousness. You were totally apart from righteousness, but you were a slave of sin. Peter in 2 Peter 2:19 says you were slaves of corruption. Just to underscore the position that sin renders us. So it's clear that there is an enslavement of sin, and Christ redeems from sin. That's basically a substitution. But even having been redeemed, having been purchased back, how can we be cleansed and be made worthy of God's presence? And that is being addressed here by the Lord Jesus in particular. There is a cleansing that is necessary, a covering, a complete washing. Even the Old Testament believers understood that was the case. Psalm 130 says, "There is forgiveness with you," he says, "that you may be feared." There is forgiveness with you. There is a wiping of the slate clean. It's not just that You know, I was off in a far country, and I'm no longer in that far country, but, you know, I'm still wearing all these rags, and I have all these bad habits. What will change all that? David, having committed a horrible crime of murder and adultery, says in Psalm 51, you don't desire sacrifice. I would give it. There was no sacrifice that was commanded by Moses for adultery and murder. It just didn't exist. He says, you don't delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These you will not despise. What he needed, and he understood that, was a cleansing. And so he goes on to say, in verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Could you wipe out the past? He's an adulterer and a murderer. Can you wipe that out? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing to ask God to do, to wipe out the slate of those horrible sins? I mean, there's a man who was alive and is dead because of you. Do you want the memory of that man to be gone? And yet he's saying, please, wipe my record clean. And we all have need of that. We can't undo the past. We cannot undo the past. In our psyches, all of us try, or in the flesh, we want to make up for whatever it is that we did. But you can't make up for. It can't be done. I mean, you can't bring Uriah back from the dead. And certainly that which is in David's heart that caused him the lust and the heinous outlook that said kill him, you can't undo that. Only God can wipe a slate clean. And here is the Apostle Paul in Acts 13 in Antioch of Pisidia. He says, by him, he said, that is Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from all things, he says, but you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It was just not designed for that. It just didn't have that in it. It basically was another a law akin to what was given to Adam. Do it right. But what happens when I don't do it right? Well, now we have Christ. In the new covenant, we have clarity. Here's the Lord Jesus saying, this is my blood of the new covenant. It's shed for many for the remission of sins. It is focused, and it truly forgives. Okay. So what is this forgiveness? Well, for one thing, it's, as you would hope, it is complete. As David did understand, he says, if you purge me, he says, if you purge me, I will be clean. Isaiah says a very similar thing right at the beginning of Isaiah. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Again, how can you undo? Only God can undo. And how does he do it? Does he just wave his hands? Does he just say, well, it never happened? Or I will take it out of your memory. He does it at the cost of the blood of his own son. And then it's real. So we have the whole fabric of reality. You know, things happen. Bad things happen. How do you unmake reality? God does that in the person of his son. As Paul says in Romans 5, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And how did it do it? It did it by the Son who was ordained from before the foundation of the world. This is what will be. I will deal with sin in the person of my Son. I will deal with it effectively. I will cover. I will expunge. So this forgiveness is complete. And it is, may I say, forever. It's not just like I dab at something, but you know, as it dries, it kind of shines back through, or as I sin tomorrow, I have the whole same problem again. It is forever. Here's the apostle in Hebrews 9. He says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So we have a lifetime, in some sense, of sin. Christ had one sacrifice. One sacrifice. And so we come to him as sinners, and he expunges our record. He doesn't impute our sins to us. Not just the previous sins. We are forgiven on a continuing basis because of the blood of his son. So it's not only complete, it is, I could say, continuing. The apostle brings this to us in Romans chapter 8. He says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died." So where will you be condemned? Christ died once and is in heaven interceding for you. When will that equation change? When will that equation change? Christ died. Christ intercedes for you. That will not change. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That is a present and continuing reality for the believer. And it's necessary for us. We say glibly, Christ intercedes for us. But we have need of that. He continues to plead his blood on our behalf. And we have need of that. It's not like we have this get out of jail free card. What we have is the blood of Christ and the continuing intercession of Christ. We don't, pull the get out of jail free card out of our pockets. Christ intercedes for us. So, a forgiveness which is both complete and ongoing, if you will, is what the Lord Jesus was speaking of as he introduced the Lord's Supper. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It's not like I'm going through throwing out daisies. you never know where that daisy's going to go and you just throw it. It says, for many. He knew those to whom he would give grace. The remission is directed and real. And what we do here is we receive again. That which the Lord Jesus is giving. He is truly giving. It is for the remission of sins. So we receive again that which he procured on the cross. A total and complete forgiveness. A depth of forgiveness which continues on forever.